to steer away from self-talk, because when we get into self-talk, it's difficult to walk in the spirit of humility. When you can't walk in the spirit of humility, you cannot walk in repentance. It's impossible. I think I've spoken here before. You know, we preach on the commands of Christ. There's 49, all written and read in the Bible, Jesus' words. But the first one is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But you can't repent if you don't work in the spirit of humility, because without walking humble, you can't repent and do things God's way, because you're going to do it your way, because you're hard-headed. Second command is follow me, and with the spirit of meekness. But if you're not meek, you can't follow Jesus, because Jesus is going that way, and you want to go this way. So every command is based around repentance, and so is our life. I mean, if you cannot change your way of thinking, renewing your mind with his word and accepting his way for our lives, you're really not going to get nowhere, because you really, what we're doing is telling God we're sorry, and there's no renewal of mind and there's no change. So since we can't walk in that spirit, you're also not going to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit when he's working in you to empower us to walk at another level, to walk in humility. We want his way in everything that we do. We want God to be glorified through everything that we do, regardless of what it costs us. Now, this is the time when we go through the threshing floor. This is the time when God starts refining things, and he gives you grace to live and go to that threshing floor where we become the living sacrifice. It's another level of living. It's where we leave the old behind, and we take on that new creation, the new Christ in us, to live at another level, faith to faith and glory to glory. But this is the time when grace has to be paid for, because the grace is going to take you to another level of anointing. Grace is a free gift, but you have to use that grace to be able to die to self to get a new anointing, so there's a price to be paid. Y'all following me? And it happens at the threshing floor. This is the place where it's endurance time, because for me it's been 10 months, almost 10 months now. It's a time of affliction. It's a time of persecution. It's a place where you feel like you cannot take anymore. You've just had enough and you're ready to give up. And I really, that I can think of 4 or 5 times, I just wanted to say the heck with it. Because you get in a pity pot mode, or I did. You know, huh, okay, you don't want me preaching anymore? That's fine. You don't want me doing this? That's fine. And it's not that he didn't want to. It's to preach at another level and give life to somebody. There has to be more death in me. We understand? He can't use me at that same level that he was using me for those last years, because he has something bigger planned that I don't know about. But I need his revelation. I need his wisdom. I need his character and his love flowing through me to get to and live at that level. Because trust me, there's going to be a devil waiting for you at that level. There's going to be people that try to knock you out of your place at that level. Y'all ever heard the saying, higher the level, bigger the devil? And that's what's happening. We think it's just everything's going chaotic and crazy. No, there's a Jezebel spirit. There's a spirit of anger, their bitterness that wants to work against you, a spirit of poor me, oppression, depression, all of it. I've had to deal with this. Yeah, I'm up here preaching. Yeah, we do what we do, but that doesn't mean those spirits don't attack leadership, pastors, church people. But we have to realize it does, and you have to take authority over that and say, you know what? You ain't got no right here. I'm not getting in a pity pot. And David said like this, so shut up. I don't want to hear you. I'm going to choose to believe the report of the Lord, and I'm going to get through this one way or another by believing his promises. But we get to the point in this time that we start questioning God once again. Man, if this is favor and this is grace, then why is all this happening to me? Why is there no end to this? When is it going to be over? Why? Isn't it long enough? Haven't I changed enough? Apparently not, because I'm still going through it. But I've learned that through this season, it's not so much the affliction, it's the revelation he's gave me to get out of that place where I don't think things my old way through self-talk, but through his promises, regardless of what I see and what's happening around me. You know, I went to a place, that's why I was telling you about get away and go pray. Because when all this started happening, I went to a place and I said, man, maybe I'll get a room. I said, nah, that ain't going to work because it's too noisy. And I finally found a place that was called Prayer Lake. And I called them on a Tuesday. I said, I'd like to come down Friday. And I said, this ain't going to work. I mean, they're always full. It's a retreat for Christians. There's cabins. They're out in the swamp and it's secluded. And I went there. She says, yeah, there's nobody here. So I went and she goes, well, you're going to be here by yourself because my husband works and I got to work and there's nobody here but the dog. So I get a cabin way in the back. I said, I want to be myself. She goes, well, there's nobody here. So I get there. And the first day I'm just sitting there and I start praying. I said, okay, Lord, I'm here. Because I had a pastor from Oregon said, God told me to tell you that he wants you to do something, but you need to get away. He goes, oh, and before I hang up, you better do it and do it quick because he ain't going to wait. And I haven't heard from Pastor Jerry probably in 3-4 years. And out of nowhere, as he calls me. So I go there and I'm sitting there. I said, okay, Lord, what you want to do? And all he kept saying is harvest, harvest. I said, well, what's harvest? Well, I mean, well, what is that? And out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw something like go through the swamp. And it looked like, I know it sounds funny to y'all, like a Sasquatch looking thing with an Indian headband. I said, well, this is weird. And that night I went to sleep. And you know how some of the hotels, man, I keep dropping that paper. Some of the hotels, they tuck the sheets real tight on the beds. So I get in my bed and I'm all warm. And it was tucked tight. And that night in my sleep, I saw this thing again. And it had a big headband, like Indian headrests, whatever you want to call it. And it was trying to beat me over the head and kill me. And I was so tight in the blankets that I couldn't move. And I couldn't wake up. And I said, ooh. And finally I said, Jesus. And I woke up. And I didn't think nothing of it. But on my last day before I left there, I told that lady, I said, look, I'm not trying to talk bad about your place here. It's nice. It's peaceful. Because, you know, we started talking on the last day. I said, I saw this, this, and this. She goes, man, last week somebody come and they put feces all over the cabins. And we've been seeing, like, different things happening around here in witchcraft. But that's what I was picking up in that place. You know, so the Lord started talking more in that place. And he started telling me harvest. And then he started talking about the threshing floor. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He goes, and he sent me to these scriptures, 2 Samuel 24:10-24. And it's about King David when he did a number count. And the Bible says, but David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. I beseech you, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David arose in the morning and the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say to David, thus saith the Lord, I hold you over 3 choices. Select one of them so I may bring it upon you. So Gad came to David and told him and said, shall 7 years of famine come to your land? Or will you flee 3 months before you pursue an enemy? Or do you prefer 3 days of pestilence in your land? Consider and see what answer I shall return to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, the seer, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are many and great. But let me not fall into the hands of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan, even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. And when David saw the angel was smiting the people, he spoke to the Lord and said, behold, I have sinned. I have done wickedly. But the sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray you, be only on me and against my father's house. You know, I like how David was walking here in humility, taking responsibility for his actions. He just did a number count. It really wasn't as bad as Beersheba and the other things he had done. But he had sinned against the Lord because the spirit of pride raised up in him. Then Gad came to David and said, go up, rear an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. Arauna said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build there an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arauna said to David, let my lord the king take an offer up what seems good to him, behold, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these the king gives to the king David, and Arauna said to the king, the Lord your God accept you. But King David said, no, I will buy it for the full price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, of which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. The Bible said David paid the full price to do the sacrifice. The altar that David instructed, that God instructed David to build, was built on the threshing floor that he bought. It's the very spot where Abraham offered up Isaac. It's the very spot where David offered up a sacrifice on the threshing floor. And it's the very spot where Solomon established the temple. It's all on Mount Moriah. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place where God takes us, and we are the new living sacrifice when we go through this place of a threshing floor. Because there's certain things that we can only learn about God through experience and affliction. I have learned this through my barren season, that God will take you not just through a barren season, but to take you to the threshing floor where you become, I become, a living sacrifice for God, to where we give up things that God cannot use in our lives to elevate us to another level. For me, it's cost me family, friends, my will, my direction, exchange for His will. It's times that I feel like, in reality, less 2 months ago, I would have thought it was going to cost me my life. And I had to come in agreement with God to say, if that's your will for me, then so be it. Maybe my time's done. Maybe things are over. The threshing floor. David might have offered a burnt sacrifice, but God's requiring each and every one of us to offer up a sacrifice. And only you, as individuals, by listening to the Holy Spirit, knows what that sacrifice is for this season of your life. What's He requiring from you? What have you heard from heaven that's God saying, I can't use that at this level? And maybe it's not the greatest of examples, but one for me was last week. Even though it was a minute lie, I can't take you to another level if that seems minute to you, because it's not minute to me. What is He requiring from you? What is He wanting you to prune away from your life right now? For me, it cost me. I still see my daughter and my son, but there was no living there. God's going to require some things from you that you really don't want to give up. But I'm telling you, if you want to go to another level, and you want to get through this barren season, you're going to have to give it up. And I don't know what it is for you, but what it means. But I know if you give it up, there's a new season coming in. And it's coming in this year. A year of prosperity. A new direction. A year of new church growth. You know, Pastor Scott always says, please don't talk about pruning no more. But I believe the pruning is coming to an end, and it's time for the new blooms to come in. I believe God is doing a new thing. But y'all have to be stirred up to be part of that body to do the new thing. Without the new thing being done, there is no nourishment for the new flowers. It's going to cost you to be anointed. Is it easy? Well, no. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy. You're going to come kicking and screaming just like I do. But as you go through the process, you're going to start to see what God is doing in your life and what He wants to do, and that, hey, His way is a whole lot better than my way. And it's starting to make sense. Is it necessary? Well, yeah, it's necessary. How many people are going to have to die in the plague in your life because you will not? David walked in the spirit of humility and accepted that he had to change for that plague to die. But how many people in our lives will die because we will not? How many people will I not affect if I don't keep and we don't keep doing what we're doing? And just say, okay, I just want to be an everyday worker, and I'll go to church when I feel like it. And if I want to give, I give. If I don't want to give, I won't give. You have to believe that one day we're going to go before the throne. And these questions are going to have to be answered. And even if we're doing everything we think we're doing right, we still miss so much that it's probably going to throw us for a loop when we say, man, I didn't know that was you talking to me. I thought that was self-talk. I didn't know you really wanted to help that person. You know they don't like me. Well, I didn't ask you that. But God, you know what they did me. Well, you know what you did me. Did I not hang my son on the cross for you? Was his hands not nailed on the cross for what you did? I loved you when you were still running from me. It still baffles me to this day, the love of God and his mercy that he shows us. You know, I think the biggest thing for me is, man, I had a 10-year sentence, and I was on 2.5 years into that 10-year sentence, and God released me out of prison early. I had already become trustee, was cooking. I mean, I did all the commissary. I did everything. I've always prospered everywhere as I go. And it just amazes me that God released me 7.5 years early out of the state penitentiary, knowing that in 6 months I'd be back to doing the same stupid thing again. If that ain't a picture of love, I don't know what is. Because if that had been us, we'd say, nah, let him rot in there. Let him do the whole 10 plus another one. Maybe he'll learn. But God don't work like that. He loves us unconditionally. And we have to understand that there's a domino effect to the things that we do and the actions that we take. David had a choice. He could have said, all right, let the man come against me. Because I got warriors. They can go out and battle. I'll stay here in my palace and it ain't going to hurt me none. All right, bring the famine. I got plenty of food. They'll starve. I won't. No, he said, bring the pestilence. A pestilence could have hit anybody, including him, and wiped him out before the angel stopped taking people out. But David thought more of the sheep than he did himself. That's what all this is about. Through barren seasons, threshing floor experiences, olive press experiences, it's about the sheep. Because God is going to change you and me to affect the lives of the sheep, the ones that are lost. The ones that are lost and don't even know they're lost. The ones that are just in church but are affecting absolutely nothing. I'm not judging. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying. We should all be doing something. I love it that y'all are a missions-based church, but you know what? Missions ain't just once a year when you go out to Nicaragua or wherever you go. It's every day. Even if it's at a 7-Eleven and somebody's outside that you know God told you, hey, get them a cup of coffee. I know that there's games that people play, but you got the Holy Ghost in you. You're going to be able to discern where God wants you to move, who he wants you to impact. Problem is, we think we have a better way. Should we keep taking advantage of grace and keep sinning and not doing what God wants us to do and not pay the full price? Is that what we want to do? Because I'm going to tell you, God ain't going to let you get by without paying the full price. He's just not going to do it. You're not going to go around him. To whom much is given, much is required. You're not going to beat around the bush. Man, even Jesus in his flesh, he didn't want to go to the cross. But nevertheless, he said, let thy will be done and not mine. Jesus submitted to God's will. So once again, are we any better than him? Do we think we don't have to? I believe God speaks to us a lot through threshing floor experiences. Problem is, we think we're just stuck in a rut and we're going through some trials in life and we want to blame the devil for everything when God's trying to get your attention of stuff that he wants to remove from your life. He's trying to prune stuff away from you to get you to another level, to live around with people and be around people with like precious faith. You see, what we believe being stuck in a rut is really not a trial, but it's pressure to take you to another level. It's a refining place. It's a place where you get out of your comfort zone to be more like Jesus. You know, and when we talk about threshing floor and harvest time, when I was at that cabin and I kept hearing harvest, I left my last day I was there, and when I opened the door to leave, they had a little sign on the door, and the name of that cabin was Harvest. I said, this is odd. You got a sense of humor. I said, okay, so what? By then I had already learned about the threshing floor. I said, well, what's harvest got to do with this? He says, Frank, you know what the problem is with the church? We think when we hear harvest, it's blessing, bountiful, abundance. And it is. But don't ever forget something. When the grain comes in, it always, always goes through the threshing floor. It doesn't go straight to where it needs to be to produce bread. It has to be purified and refined and cleaned and winnowed and separated from the chaff. And so do we. If we allow the Holy Spirit, he will refine you. And you know, I studied on that a little bit, and then they take that grain and they put it down on a rock floor and the oxen go around and they pull a tribune, it's called, behind it. And it's made, it's a board with little like rocks on it. And as it drags, it beats the grain off the husk. And then they winnow it. But if you really want the purest of the grain, they winnow it again. I believe a lot of us, we get winnowed, but to really be purified the way God wants us to another level, we don't ever go through that second winnowing because it just hurts so much. That's one of the things that happens in these barren seasons. I've learned that it hurts to be separated from family. It hurts to be where you feel like you're alone and nobody understands you. It hurts to really grab a hold of God's word and then your own people of like precious faith think you're cuckoo because the raven's going to bring you bread. Or because, yeah, I know what the Bible says and I know what my body's saying, but is he really going to heal my body? And people will look at you like you're crazy at this new level, I'm telling you. Because you're not thinking with your mind that's in agreement with their mind, you're thinking with the mind of Christ. It's in agreement with heaven to produce something new here on earth. To reach a potential in Christ, there has to be a threshing floor experience in our life. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. To prune out unforgiveness, hate, pride, bitterness, anger, doubt. Do you have to love the unlovable? I'm just now coming to the point, probably 2-3 months ago, that I can actually pray for my sister that's doing everything she's doing through this estate and actually say that my heart's broken because I see that in her body she's gained a lot of weight. Now she has heart issues. She's diabetic. Oppression. She's depressed, on painkillers, on medication for the depression. And it all comes from what? Anger, unforgiveness, because it's easier to blame us instead of herself and take responsibility for her actions, and it's slowly killing her. But I can actually pray for her, and it hurts. Me and my sister was close. We still are, but she will have nothing to do with us. Now, maybe she's not in the church like she used to be, but how many people in the church are walking down the same path? Don't want to let go of something in the past. It wasn't fair what happened to me. Even if it was a child, abuse, whatever. You don't want to let go. If you don't let go, you're not going to grow. I'm going to tell you right now. That spirit has you, and you gave it legal right to be there because you will not come in agreement and bind that thing up and tell it, you have no legal right to be in me, and you have to go. You know, I'm going to say something that I really didn't want to say, but I've been studying a lot on different spirits and demons. My mom, I love my mom with all my heart, interceded for me till the day she died. But as I study on Jezebel, I realized that even though my mom, precious woman of God, loved the Lord, gave open doors to that spirit, because she would do things behind my dad, not infidelity or nothing like that, but with money, hide money, do this and do that without there being agreement. And it always opened that door. And then it just grows. I'm not dishing my mom, I'm just trying to tell you. Just because we're Christians here, pastors, doesn't mean that we don't open doors, because we don't stay in line with God's word and stay with the truth. Only through the truth are we going to purge out iniquity of our heart. You know, now, my mom, I know she's in heaven. I know she's in heaven. But that controlling spirit, because, I mean, when it got to the end days, she was rude with my dad. And my dad was rude with my mom. But my dad didn't go to church. But my mom did. Yes, he did on the last year before he passed away. We led him to the Lord. But I'm just telling you this, because don't think just because you're sitting in that pew or I'm sitting behind this pulpit, that we can't give open doors to spirits that'll just destroy your purpose. And I know this might sound crazy to you, but what door would I have opened if I wouldn't have said, Lord, forgive me for lying. You're right. I rebuke you, you spirit of lie and deception. You have no legal right in my body. That's taking authority, even though it seems small, but you have to do it. Because we open so many doors and don't realize we do it. The threshing floor never feels good, but if you want more of God, you have to be winnowed. Life has to become about Him and His will and not yours. You know, I prayed about this before I was to say this, but you know, through barren season, you know, I'm not in Manawa no more. And now, you know, I'm so used to preaching 4 or 5 times a week, and now it's like once or twice a month. And it just feels like everything is being stripped away. It feels like you're alone. It feels like maybe sometimes God's mad and it's aggravated with you or something. And you say, God, why? Well, I guess it's about 5 months ago, you know, I kept asking, why all this? And then I started going to the doctor, and they found that I was having issues with my liver. And I would have never known had I stayed in Manawa. And I said, well, you know, God heals. I'm going to trust that. And He's going to do something good. I know He is. And as we talked to the doctors, he said, well, we got a medication for it. The problem is it's $80,000. And your insurance ain't going to cover that. And I said, I had to come to a point where I said, you know, God's faithful. And even if something happens, I'm going to heaven. And I have eternal life. And surely, if God sends a raven and He supplies a place for me to stay, God can take care of this. Now, is it easy to hang on to that promise and say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed? When the doctor does ultrasounds and everything he does, and then they find out, and what little hope you got, it's stripping away because pharmaceutical companies are so crazy in this country. So I go to my self-thinking mind, and I figure this one out myself. I called George. I said, George, go to this doctor at Vivian Fellas and find out how much I can get this medication from. Because I researched everything with my thinking mind. And my brain, it's not too great, but... And I got to the point where I could get it in Manawa for $1,900. But then I couldn't get it here. But then I could finally get it here. And the doctor raised the price to $10,000 because he found out we're Americans. So I said, man. And I was walking. And then I had to go preach. But before the service, I said, you know what? I ain't got nothing to lose. If I die, I win. And if I live, I win. I can't focus on what's going to happen. I give it to you. The heck with this. I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm not going to stop doing what I do. And I'm going to keep pressing forward. Because there's people out there that need to hear about your goodness. And that you are a miracle working God. And I'm not going to focus on the money. I'm just going to do what you've called me to do. My pulpit's on the streets, my pulpit's the stores, my pulpit's wherever. And I'm okay with that. Well, Lord and behold, 2 weeks later, my doctor's secretary, I guess, she called. She goes, Frank? She goes, yeah. She goes, I wanted to tell you about that medicine. I said, yeah, I know. She goes, no, we keep pushing and pushing, and I got that medicine for you. I said, yeah, how much? She said, $3. I'm on my 7th week regimen of this medicine, and in a month, I'm good. I ain't going nowhere, sucker. You can't get rid of me. But you talk about some pain. to go through to trust God in this time, when everything else seems to be falling apart in this season, God goes to show you, I had to get you out of Managua to get you this medication. I had to get you out of Managua to use what this testimony is going to do in people's lives, to show them I am a miracle-working God, and I'm going to do what I say I can do in your life. If God gives you a revelation, a prophetic word, if you can grasp hold of it, I guarantee you, you're going to see it if you can speak it out of this mouth. What you're seeing ain't nothing. But you start speaking in the direction of what God's already catapulted that young man into. Don't limit that young man. Don't listen to people around him. I don't care what they say. You start speaking life over that young man. He's going to be a doctor. He's going to be a lawyer. He's going to take care of me when I'm older. I ain't going to be taking care of him till he's 50. But how do we perceive his promises in these seasons? I'll tell you, it's not easy. This is our worst enemy we got. Because when I got that news, I wanted to go lock myself up in the house. Just to read my Bible was a struggle. If it wasn't for God talking to me in my daily walks and reminding me of scriptures, I wouldn't have gotten much revelation in that season. And it's just like a voice that says, I've never left you. I'm right here. Yeah, you're going through some rough times, but you're learning. There's revelation to be learned. If it wouldn't have been through the affliction, I would have never learned his statutes. If it wouldn't have been for that, I wouldn't be here being able to speak to whoever this is for. It might not even be for y'all. It might be for somebody who hears a CD. I don't know. But we are the living sacrifice. If you're willing to lay your life down on the threshing floor and God refine you and use you to take you to another level. Because it's not about us. It's going to cost us, but it's not about us. It's about how many lives can we change. We have to bring a sacrifice of praise through these storms. I love that second song. I'm going to praise and I'm going to sing a new hallelujah. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what church people say. It doesn't matter what family says. I'm going to praise the Lord through the midst of it all because he's never left me. I've been in and out of prison, drugs, you name it, I've done it. That's all behind me. People have left me, abandoned me. But God will never leave you. He's going to be with us through thick and thin. I don't know what your barren season is like, but I'm telling you, you're coming out of it if you can submit to his will. The Bible says David had a seer. We have a seer. He's called the Holy Spirit. He brings you a word from heaven that will get you through your season. That's what you're looking for, your seer to speak to you, Tony. Your seer spoke to you today, giving you new hope. David, without saying a word, I can tell you the Holy Ghost is just beating on you. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to every one of you. You know, we spoke yesterday, so here, I don't know how many people are going to be there. I said, the ones that God wanted there is the ones that's going to be there. And the ones that couldn't come because they had to work, well, they're going to hear the CD, and we're just going to believe God that he's going to touch them right there in their car where they're at. His will is that we listen. I heard a story in California. It was called The Story of a Comic Book. Man, I love this little story. And it was a dad. The little boy come home and goes, Dad, at school, they want us to do a comic book. And I'll paint the picture, and you write the words. And the dad said, okay. So they started the comic book, and the little boy would paint, and he wanted to make it about Superdog. So he would paint the picture, and the dad would write the story. And they kept doing it. And I found it amazing. And the man says, you know, my little boy would paint the picture of what Superdog was doing, and then I would write the story to go along with the picture. He goes, and I found it really amazing. Because what the Holy Spirit started speaking to me was, God's already gave you the word, but what picture are we painting up here that's not manifesting with that word? I'll give you an example. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. But what picture was my brain painting? You want to know? A coffin? Planning? Funeral? money. And quick, we come in agreement with death words over a situation instead of believing what God says he's going to do. Because it seems so absurd. It seems absurd that where am I going to get that type of money? It's easier to plan for my funeral and just get it over with. But God already wrote the story. What picture are we painting with that story to his promise for your life? About to wrap it up. In this season, we have to paint the picture that lines up with the promise in your situation. If God says it's for you, it's for you. Even if you don't see it yet, it's for you. Don't analyze it, because what you think is for you might not be what you think. You know, we like to plan things out the way we want things, but sometimes things happen in our lives to give life to somebody else. It has nothing to do with us. Yeah, we face the troubles. Yeah, we go through the affliction. But without us going through that, we could give hope to nobody else. The seed of what we're believing for is already in us. We just have to wait on God's time and to manifest it. For me, it's been a time of sowing, working, helping people, doing what I can let do every day. That's all I can do in this season, and let God do what he's doing in my life. Just make sure everything you do and you're doing for God, that he gets glory for everything. You're suffering, you're going through problems, you're going through issues, but it's all worth it in the long run. You're going to see the growth and the spiritual growth if you can just grab hold of his word, push out the thinking mind, self-talk, and allow God to do what he's doing. I can imagine how much Zechariah and Elizabeth suffered through this time. But I want to encourage you, just keep pressing in. You're going to see. You're going to see how God's going to move in your life. You're going to see how God is going to change something that looks impossible into something possible. It's just a season, guys. We're going through the valley, that's all. We're not there to stay. We're not going to camp out. We're just going through. And just like God's delivered me, and he's delivering you. But you need to let go of your agenda, your perception of the things that is happening, and let him do what he's got to do. You know, I got a report about 2 weeks ago that my sister's coming to the end of her self-pity, I guess. And she's even starting to go to church some at another church. So even though it's been 2 years in this estate battle, I can see the prayer of my sisters and myself and Shelly, all of us praying for my sister, manifesting now. So, yeah, it's not right what happened, but are we to abandon her and not pray for her? Maybe it took this situation for her to get back to Christ, and I keep going down the road she was going. Now, I ain't trying to figure out what God's doing, but I'm going to look at the bright side of everything. You know, she's coming around, she's going to church, so hey, it's all good. Maybe we didn't get to see each other for 2 years. Maybe our Christmas was interrupted, and maybe it wasn't what it used to be. But if it brings life and hope to her and her family and her children and her children's children, I'm okay with that. I don't like everything I'm going through and the shots I'd have to take and the things that I have to do. But hey, to God be the glory. I'm alive. Pastor Scott, you thought you was going to get rid of me in 3-4 years, but buddy, you can hang it up. I'm like Moses. I don't stop until God tells me to go home. I tell you what, it amazes me how you can be aggravated with God, even mad at God at times, and he still loves you enough to just supernaturally move in your life in all aspects. You know, I don't know what y'all are going through in your personal seasons or drying seasons or barren seasons or, you know, olive press experiences, but count it all joy. Because without it, you're not going to see change. And I think, you know, what Shelley said was, you need a Judas. That might not be a person, it's a circumstance. But you need that. Without that, you're not going to cross. You're not going to bury your cross. I had to come to the point that I said, you know what? I'm going to be grateful that I came from Manawa and I spent 6-7 months and maybe 2 years left with my grandkids. I'm going to sow into them all I can. I bring Nariah over every weekend and she spends a weekend with me. She even peed on me one time. She sleeps on my bed. She goes walking with me, but... Oh, yeah, and then that young lady, I mean, she's 3, and she goes, well, she's 4 now. She goes up to a woman at a Walmart, and the lady come over to my daughter, and she goes, can you pray for me? My daughter said, yeah. She goes, no, not you, her. She goes, my daughter? She goes, yeah. And my granddaughter laid hands on her, and she told her, because the lady was pregnant. No. Oh, yeah, she wanted to get pregnant. My granddaughter prayed over her, and she said, in 10 months, a 3-year-old now, she don't know nothing about it, you're going to have a baby. And it's a girl. And then they saw her like a week later, and that she come up, and she goes, you remember me? She goes, yeah, it's still a girl. That hasn't changed. But... But, you know, what I saw as a bad thing and the end of my world, now I see it as God has taken to me to a place that I've gotten to be in a deeper relationship with Him through prayer, understanding, being able to hear His small voice at another level, not perfect by no means, and just to see that even when the devil... means for the bad, God turns it to the good. All we have to do is accept His will in this season, and you'll watch how things will just flip for you real fast. Because for me, is the minute that I threw my hands up and I said, okay, whatever. If I don't ever go back to Manawa, if I don't ever preach again, if I don't ever do this, I'm okay with it. If you want me just to run a dozer, then I'll run a dozer, and I'm going to praise you from the dozer. Okay. And now... And now I see the way God's ironing it out. Not only will I be in the States, I can still work because the company that I'm going to be working for, I'm going to end up being the project manager for their or the vice president of his company, still do missions, still be out the country 6 months out of there, still hold my job, and still preach in state and out of state and out the country. So what I thought was God bringing everything to an end to me, God just catapulted it to another level to where now I'm praying, God, give me the grace to be able to do all this because I'm going to be wore out. But God's good, guys. You know, in the midst of this, I'm going to ask Jason to play that song. But when he plays that song, I'd like for y'all just to come up here, lay it at his feet. Give it up. It ain't worth it. You're going to lose the battle. You're either going to lose or you're not going to give up and you're going to be miserable till He takes you home. And I think this is a good time for you to surrender it and just give it to Him. And say, God, here I am. Whatever Your will is for my life, reveal it to me. Reveal it in my heart, because that's the direction that I want to go. I'm tired of fighting You. For some of you that are younger, you might want to fight some more. Go ahead. It didn't work for me. It's not going to work for you. God's good, guys. We have a lot to praise Him for and to be grateful for. And thankful for. I know it took a little while to get this message out, but I appreciate y'all. Tomorrow we'll be preaching mostly on missions and doing some videos and, you know, getting everybody missions minded. And that's what God wants us to do, to be a mission. I know y'all are a mission minded church, but just to go to another level. It ain't just about in another country. It's about what we can do here, there, everywhere, even in your own neighborhood, in your own family. You know, I bet you never looked at your personal family as a mission, huh? I think that's the worst one there is. Amen. Put on something joyful. Put on something good.